my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 302 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and we are going to be talking about WWE Thunderdome in just a few minutes, but first I want to thank everyone who has been a part of my 1-2-3 cents over the last decade. Next week marks 10 years. Since actually it's coming up this week on September 3rd, 10 years since the inception of My 1-2-3 Cents as a brand and as an idea. So I encourage you, if you are and have been a supporter, you already have done this, you have liked the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page. Stay tuned to that this week, September 3rd. There's going to be an announcement, and I am excited, and I hope that this will also, maybe a first-time listener will head on over and check out the Facebook page as well. So I highly encourage and hope that you will do that when you have a few minutes and just kind of take a look at the content that's going on and is being put out there. Of course, My 1-2-3 Cents is on Twitter and Instagram, as well as YouTube. In the YouTube channel, I've had ebbs and flows with the blog. I've had ebbs and flows with here lately, just trying to change over and switch everything over to a new server, or server's not the right word, a new website, and it's proving to be a little more difficult for me than I thought it was going to be. So hopefully by the 3rd, everything, all those bugs are worked out, and you have seen the new and improved my123cents.com. Also, that being said, I want to thank my friends and supporters, including Chad Smart from the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network. He's a good friend. He's a great friend. And I appreciate the support he has given this brand through the years, and as well as Stride Pro Wrestling. And he's going to be actually coming into town in just a couple of weeks. And I'm looking forward to seeing him as well. For a Stride Pro Wrestling show, which Stride is very slowly making comebacks of sorts, very limited crowds, and we're playing it safe. So be sure next week to tune in to Tyler and I as we kind of break down some things going on with Stride Pro Wrestling. Other podcasts out there, of course, here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, Greg and Chad's Power Half Hour, as well as Nerds United. There's my friends over in Cape Girardeau at the Podzilla 1985 Podcasting Network. Tom and Jason Skull, when they're not, too busy making fun of the Liquor Vicar on social media, they're recording podcasts too. We're missing you guys, so hopefully everyone's doing well and staying safe in this pandemic during COVID-19. But that being said, I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with my guest co-host, Jeff Holtke.
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts. So if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Everyone, welcome back. As promised, the guest co-host this week is Jeff Holtke, who is probably familiar to some of you. He, unofficially, I think you have become the AEW correspondent. You and Brandon, and his last name just escaped me.
O'Neill, yep.
Brandon O'Neill traveled to, you guys were in Chicago for, it was the very first AEW event, is that right?
Yeah, All In, and then we were at All Out as well. Both times that they've been up in the Chicago area, we've gone to a few. They've come to Champaign, which is around here, and so anytime they're in the area, we tend to gravitate towards the AEW live events.
And Jeff has become the Twitter correspondent on the My123Cents Twitter page when he goes to these events, which I appreciate because it gives, you know, I obviously don't, I am deep south Illinois, whereas Jeff is closer to that Chicago area and has been able to go to a couple of the events. I tried to get tickets 1 year for All In, I believe it was, but wasn't able to. But talk to me a little bit about your fandom and you know, obviously now since we've talked last, there's this quote-unquote Wednesday night war between NXT, WWE, and AEW. But, you know, I think you have proven you're just one of those fans that loves it all and is able to consume it all and watch and enjoy both shows.
I don't really know exactly when I started back watching. It's been several years ago. But it started with WWE and then obviously kind of followed AEW as they were starting up and, you know, as their roster was forming. It was kind of a cool new, you know, obviously new is always appealing. And so I've been watching that, go to quite a few of those events. And, you know, I've always had, with my former job in baseball, we always had old former WWE Hall of Famers come, you know, to a game. And so that was always fun to interact, you know, with the Hacksaw Jim Duggins, the Sergeant Slaughters, the Jerry Lawlers, you know, that type of, you know, level of the Hall of Famers. And so it was always fun to interact with them. I got to know Sergeant Slaughter pretty well because I've had him at two or three different events. So it's always fun to, you know, interact with those guys. But yeah, I've been following the product for quite a while as of late too. I do a lot of sports cards selling and wrestling cards are a big thing that not a lot of people sell, and there's, you know, they're a pretty good profit margin on those compared to some of the other sports cards. So it's always fun to know the product, you know, when you're opening cards, to know who these guys are and, you know, where they are in storylines and different like things like that. So it's always helped that along the way too.
Very cool. I'm glad you brought up your former job with baseball and in Southern Illinois minors in particular. That's actually how you and I met. Hacksaw Jim Duggan had come in to Marion and I had reached out to you. I had just started doing, I say just started, I had been doing it probably about 6 months, I guess, the My123Cents YouTube channel, and I was always looking for opportunities to do interviews for the show, and I wasn't sure how to approach it, but I did reach out to you, and you were awesome in getting me access to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, which was pretty amazing, and he's a great guy. And do you find when you are booking these, or when you were scheduling these legends to come in, I mean, I would assume they're obviously one for a payday, but they're also pretty down to earth and pretty nice guys, huh?
Yeah, they are really, really good guys. Hacksaw, especially, I was the one that, and my dad was in town too, but we were the ones that drove him. You know, obviously being in Marion, that airport wasn't necessarily the biggest, and so we would have those guys fly into St. Louis, and then, you know, we would send one of our reps, and it was usually me down to pick up the wrestler. So I got to spend, you know, 2 hours each way picking him up. And so there are some really, really wild stories that he told in the car, and some that, you know, just like, wow, I think so much differently of you now. But not anything bad, but it's kind of funny, some of the road stories he had. And same with Sergeant Slaughter. I saw him. We had him when I was out in Ohio, which was back in like 2009 or so. And then we had him again just about 3 years ago here in Normal as I was wrapping up my 10 years in minor league baseball. So it was cool to have that kind of come full circle. And like I said, get to know him pretty well and talk to him a little bit more when he was in town. But yeah, I mean, those guys are super great. And I'm not going to say the new era wrestlers are, you know, they're great as well. But some of these old guys, they love to, you know, sit there and talk about stories, hear stories when, you know, guys bring up random memorabilia from, you know, many, many years ago. And then they always, you know, enjoy hearing the stories of where these things came about. And they were always super great to work with. Those were some of our busier promotional nights. You see people come to the ballpark that you know, aren't necessarily baseball fans, and some you come and you're like, wow, I didn't know you were a wrestling fan, you know, and they, you know, they're decked out in full gear from head to toe with the championship belt, so it's always fun to see that too.
Yeah, it's kind of became, I don't want to say it's funny, but it's almost I would never have expected that kind of connection between baseball and pro wrestling and kind of that appeal, because like you said, you know, you did it with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I know that there have been indie shows out at the ballpark here.
Yeah.
Stride Pro Wrestling actually had a show out there last summer where, oddly enough, Tyler Heath Hatton and I won the Stride Pro Wrestling tag team titles.
Yeah.
And it's just such a fun environment. You know, you get a little baseball, you get a little wrestling. We were supposed to do two shows this year. Obviously, because of COVID, those were canceled because, you know, year one was a successful event, so yep. They invited us back for two more shows. But that kind of, I guess, will transition into the fan experience because, obviously, COVID has canceled a lot of things for a lot of us, whether it is baseball or basketball or football or whatever the case may be. Professional wrestling has kind of been able to escape some of that, being able to continue on with programming and whatnot. Tell me, first of all, just as a fan watching prior to Thunderdome and prior to them, even, you know, WWE was a little behind AEW on bringing in even their talent as an audience. Has it affected or changed your view of watching as a fan with the lack of a crowd or just the, you know, the handful of wrestlers that are in the crowd for these shows?
Yeah, especially in the beginning when there was nobody, I thought, you know, at the very least there could have been some, me being in, you know, production and you know, in my job now as a marketing manager, you know, things that they could have done just a little differently. Obviously they know what they're doing, but, you know, piping in, I think it was at, was it Money in the Bank, that last match they had, you know, like music underneath the match, and it just made it more, not as dry, I guess you could say. And so that, it was nice when they started to introduce, you know, fans into the, or, you know, the NXT talent into the crowd. And same with AEW having their performers in the crowd. And it's nice. The Thunderdome has been a cool experience. I think getting out of the Performance Center and it being such a small arena, you know, even if it is an empty arena at the, what is it, the Amway Center where the Magic play, it just makes it feel like a bigger spectacle, even if there is no, you know, no real fans in the crowd live. It definitely makes it worth, I guess, makes it feel more normal and not so forced when you're watching, because a lot of times it was kind of, you know, I didn't necessarily skip shows, but it was like, you know, I could have skipped shows and I didn't really miss too much if I, you know, I read recaps or different things like that, but it's definitely a nice change to have the piped in, you know, crowd noise, and it's just not so just dry.
Yeah. So one other thing that kind of evolved from all of this before we get to Thunderdome is the rise of the quote-unquote cinematic matches. You know, we saw it at WrestleMania with the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse match. AEW did it with the on the football field, and then you know, Money in the Bank itself was kind of shot in that way as well.
Yeah.
Do those matches, you know, I know some fans, some diehard fans are really opposed to that and say that it's too much of the theatrics and not enough of the wrestling. Personally, from my perspective, I've enjoyed all of them, you know, and even the ones that were a little hokier, like the Swamp match with Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, you know, hokey, but it's definitely adding something different, I think, and it kind of takes it, again, like you said, out of that smaller space of the Performance Center or where they are performing in Jacksonville with AEW.
Yeah, those have been great, and like I said, I don't think those would have ever come around had it not been for no fans, because I don't know about you, but I hate going to a show and then sitting there watching the Jumbotron for, you know, for 20 minutes while a match, you know, or something backstage goes on. So I think those have been great. The Boneyard match was obviously really, really good. The one I need to go back and watch is the Firefly Funhouse match with Cena, because I think the first time I actually watched it, my brain was trying to process everything that was going on, you know, with all the different character changes and everything else.
Yeah.
That one, I thought that was good. Not like you said, all the other ones, the the football field, I can't even think what it was called, but, you know, for AEW, that was a good one as well. And so I think that's the one, you know, one of the bright spots of the COVID era, being able to take the time to produce these and not have to entertain the crowd, you know, while those mm-hmm. are going on the TitanTron.
So, you know, obviously over the last, I'm not exactly sure when it was announced, but, you know, I got one of the emails as a WWE Network subscriber. I think probably everybody got the email saying that Thunderdome was coming, and I really didn't pay attention to it. I actually saw an article about it on LinkedIn because I follow WWE on LinkedIn, and that's actually where I kind of read up about it and learned more about it. And really, until you actually had Snapchatted me and said that you were, you know, on the list or you had registered for SummerSlam, and that piqued my interest because I'm like, oh wow, this is really a thing, and you know, people that I, because I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be reserved for people that are, you know, whatever. But I registered as well. Unfortunately, I did get the email back that had a call time. I did not make it into the Thunderdome, though, so to speak, but you did, and I want to know more about the whole thing from your perspective. Yeah. So you obviously registered, and you got a call time, and then you signed in and made it through the, because I saw some people say you have to refresh or whatever, but I also read that it's, you know, one click, and then you can't click that link again, so you have to click at your time.
Yeah, I'm not sure on, you know, I know it says not to share the link and that it's a good for one-time use, but when I did it for SummerSlam, I just, you know, like you, I'm like, I'll just give it a shot and see what happens, you know, and so I got a call time of like 4:30, and so I was like, okay, well, that's got to be a little earlier, you know, and so I pulled it up, and it was just there, you know, there's like music playing, you could see yourself in the corner, and they have like a little cutout trying to coach you, and you know, how to adjust your camera, and so I think it was, what, a half hour before the pre-show started, so there, you know, there's music playing, and then sporadically through that half hour, they'd have, I'm assuming it was all pre-taped, but they'd have like guys like R-Truth, I think Kevin Owens, and maybe one other guy, their voice came over, you know, and they're, you know, trying to basically pump up the crowd, and they're having you get, you know, do crazy like hand motions and stuff, thumbs up, thumbs down, that type of thing, and then, you know, they react accordingly. And so then it came on, and I was like, oh yeah, this will be, you know, cool to check out. And so luckily I got on, and like I said, I know you got the later call time, so I wasn't sure if they would, you know, how strict they were and mm-hmm. how often they'd boot people, you know, and how many they could get through at a time. But, you know, I stayed on for quite a long time, and then, you know, decided, like, oh, I'll, you know, pop out and let some other people, you know, check it out. But it was pretty cool. It was a little choppy in the beginning, but it got a lot better. And obviously with that many, you know, connections, showing that many fans from across the world, I thought it was pretty a pretty streamlined process, you know, for my first try.
You know, from watching it from home on the network, I personally love it. I think it's a great idea. I know it has flaws, and I know there are things that could be changed or fixed about it. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when you're watching it, you know, when you're in the Thunderdome and watching, what are you seeing? Are you seeing it as you were, because you said you got out of the Thunderdome, did you continue watching SummerSlam then? Is it the same view, or are you seeing it from a different perspective? And I know that may be a dumb question.
It's the feed from the network. And so there is a producer, and I read that this was new at SummerSlam compared to the first, like, what, SmackDown, I think it was. But there was, you know, a producer on there coaching you up, kind of like what they do right before a show starts, like when you're at a live event. But even after that, you know, like when, for instance, like Sasha and Bayley came out, the guy gets on there and says, all right, guys, everybody, you know, give thumbs down, start booing, you know, and they coach you, and, you know, and then all of a sudden you just see everybody, you know, in the crowd doing the thumbs down. But the funny thing for me, the first time, I got in for today, and I don't know what time my call time is, I got to look, but I figured I'd try it again today for payback. But, I was more distracted watching the crowd trying to find myself than anything else. And the one time I thought I was seeing things, because I saw myself, I was like, ah, no way. I probably just looked in the corner, because your picture's up there the whole time in the corner, so you can see your camera view.
Oh, okay.
But sure enough, you know, during the Apollo Crews match, they popped into somewhere in the crowd, you know, and that was the other thing, I was trying to figure out, okay, they showed me where was I in the crowd, and I never did figure that out because there's just so many. But it is a super cool, you know, just watching, you know, a Monday Night Raw. It's so much better. I know there's been some, you know, some rotten apples that have, you know, done some different things with costumes and whatnot. And so as long as nobody, you know, as long as they get control of that and don't ruin it for the rest of us, it should be good to get us through the rest of the COVID era.
So when a package would pop up and play, you're seeing all that too. I mean, you're not seeing any like behind the scenes. Like you said, there was a producer there kind of coaching. Do you see that person, or are you just hearing a voice and then kind of explaining what's going to be happening?
It's all a voice. So you're like, the feed was nothing more than just the what you'd see like on the WWE Network.
Uh-huh.
But then, yeah, the guy, you don't see him, you just hear him. And so he talks over the audio from the feed. So it's not like it cuts out completely. So like when the commentators were talking for, you know, with the intro, whenever they kick it down to the broadcast booth, then he's over top of them talking like, hey, everybody get wild. You know, we're going to show the crowd. And so, you know, he was on there throughout, just, you know, as different guys were coming out. You know, whoever it may be, Drew, they, you know, they told the cheer that, you know, they were kind of telling you one way or the other. But I think that helped the overall feel, compared to like SmackDown. I don't think people really knew, you know, they were kind of doing their own thing. This, you know, puts it more, it kind of polishes it up a little bit to when you're watching it just as a casual fan, to see everybody, you know, clapping or booing at the same time. It makes it look a little more realistic, I guess.
Was it awkward? Because, you know, obviously when I'm watching from home, I might react. And if I'm watching with friends in person, you know, we may talk about it or whatever, but there, you know, I don't cheer or boo or whatever. So was it awkward doing kind of, you know, acting like a fan in the arena versus just as a fan watching it from home?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm the same way. I'm not one to, you know, get up on my feet and rah, rah, cheer. But, you know, and like my kids were with me. And so we all kind of, you know, they were all into it, clapping and different things. But, and it's really funny because I still don't believe that the sound that you're hearing from the crowd is the crowd at all, because, you know, like my kids were talking and different things. Like, I guarantee they don't have the capability of filtering all that out, you know, and like, you know, a dog's barking or different things like that. I think that's still, artificial, but the delay wasn't bad. I think they've improved that from the first, SmackDown to the pay-per-view. It wasn't as big of a delay, to where, you know, something happens on screen and then there's a delay before the reaction happens. But I felt like it was a lot cleaner that go around. So we'll see here tonight for Payback if they've done any other improvements. But like I said, I think the audio is still the only thing. So, you know, a couple times we would clap or, you know, give thumbs up or different things, but we weren't cheerleaders here at home by any means.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not ever going to be featured on the front, you know, front few rows, but it was still a pretty cool experience.
Well, and I believe, and I don't know this to be true, but, you know, you mentioned it, and we might as well talk a little bit more about it. You know, there were some fans that, you know, the photograph of Chris Benoit that popped up. I think there was a Ku Klux Klan member photo that popped up. Allegedly, and I've seen different reports that Sonya Deville's stalker, I did see that some people said that was a photoshopped image of a screenshot of her match that popped up. So whether or not it happened or not is beside the point.
Right.
It's just, you know, you get people that get in that environment, and I kind of want to tie this to the Hall of Fame ceremony as well. Have you ever been to have you done WrestleMania weekend before? I can't remember.
I have not. I have not done any of that. We've talked about it. Even Brendan and I have talked about going, you know, making a weekend out of it, kind of like what we did with AEW, but have not attended a WrestleMania.
Well, and I kind of wanted to tie it to this because Chad and I have talked about it several times in the past. You know, when you go to the Hall of Fame, for us, it was more of a it wasn't a wrestling event per se. It was more of a ceremony and something to be respectful of. And I think the first year we went in Chicago, I think the tickets even said, you know, there was a bit of a dress code listed. So we got, you know, we wore suits and we were, you know, but then you get there and there are people running around in t-shirts and shorts, and okay, that's fine. But then when these legends are up there, you know, going through, and Sherry Martel, I felt really bad for, because people were catcalling and yelling, and she actually stops and says something to them at one point, which then just eggs them on. And so then it got to the point, years after that, they were throwing people out of the ceremony because it got obnoxious. And, you know, I kind of liken it to some of these jerks that go on and put, you know, these obnoxious photos up as well, as they're kind of ruining the experience for everyone who's just there to have fun. And you know, I get people may want to express themselves and do something, but do it in a manner that you're not being, you know, obnoxious. You know, the Pikachu guy, no problem with that.
Yeah.
If somebody threw up a, you know, an old picture of Ric Flair or something, you know, I don't have any right. problem with that. But when you're putting criminals or you know, nefarious people on, you just kind of are being a jerk.
Yeah, I feel like that's the same way and I'm sure that'll happen tonight too. Everybody one-upping, you know, trying to do different things. But, you know, it's fun to see the guys with like championship belts or, you know, different costumes. But yeah, when you go the KKK or you know, Chris Benoit, or, you know, I think one said Fire Velveteen Dream, you know, mm-hmm. those types of things. It's great to be vocal on social media, but then to, you know, to do it on a grander stage it just isn't in good taste. And like you said, I'm sure, you know, the fans that were at the Hall of Fame, you know, and can be quite vocal there too. It's just, get those few bad apples and then, like any typical wrestling chant, it just starts to grow and grow, yeah. And there's no squashing it at that point.
Yeah, and I believe that they are going to be more selective on the ones that are more prominently featured, you know, on camera versus, you know, the ones that are kind of on the outlying areas of the feed. But again, I think it's a great concept. And do you see, because, you know, you have your past life of being in baseball, I mean, is this a concept you could see working? I mean, hopefully this is the last summer and the last season of being in this, you know, pandemic state that we're in, but would something like this, and I guess some other sports have tried this or have incorporated, I'm not, you know, I don't follow any other sports really, but could this be a thing? You know, I know Major League Baseball had the cardboard cutouts and whatnot in the crowd. Is this something you could see, you know, smaller minor league teams doing, or is the technology just too much for them to get into?
I think like the NBA, I think, was the first one that did it, and they're in those smaller, they're down at Disney, and they've kind of made their own arena there, and so I think it works for them, and it was a cool concept. And then when you know, when WWE rolled that out, you know, I thought, oh, that's cool, it'd be kind of, you know, tight in the performance center. But then when they went to the Orlando Magic's arena, then, you know, that gives them a ton more room. I think that minor league baseball, I don't think would do. They may sell the cardboard cutout style. Major League Baseball, I don't know. It's just such a big area,
yeah,
you know, in a ballpark that the cardboard cutouts. I got to imagine, you know, in my time in baseball, thinking about it, I got to imagine those cardboard cutouts are a nightmare, where you got to put them out every game, you know, and take them inside, you know, because if it rains or something, I don't know. I just could imagine that's probably not that they're doing much, you know, like the sales staff or whoever it might be, you know, that's probably their responsibility to get those out. But it's a cool idea, you know. Some of them are, I think, like the Oakland Athletics baseball team, if your cardboard cutout gets hit, you get the ball. And so,
oh, nice.
There's some cool little perks that some are doing. I could see, and like you said, I hope this is the last summer, and, you know, we can return to live events and concerts and different things like that. But I think they've made the best of the situation, and like I said, with WWE doing the screens, it's been fun as well, to mix it up, because it was getting stale there in the performance center and the plexiglass and you know, all that with the fans. Not that I watch the crowd on those performance center shows, but there are a few guys in the crowd that were more distracting than I would have rather just had nobody, you know, instead of the ones that are dancing around and going crazy when different things are going on. But I know that's what they were coached up to do, and so you know, obviously it's an unprecedented time, and so I think, you know, all sports, whether it be, you know, WWE or, you know, baseball, I think football may do the cardboard cutouts, because there's several teams that have already announced that they're not going to allow fans in. And so I just hope everything goes back to normal, you know, come next year, and there'll be more live events and more things to do outside of just watching it on TV.
Yeah, and as we kind of wrap things up, I know that you have been, we mentioned All In and All Out and going to StarCast and you know, for WWE fans, it's WrestleMania Access, and those meet and greets where you get to spend a minute or two, sometimes it's even shorter than that, but you get the photo, you get the autograph, and now I know that they've done, some companies are doing like virtual events. WWE was doing something over SummerSlam weekend where you were actually getting a time to do like a FaceTime or a, you know, face-to-face over the internet, obviously,
yeah,
and interact. And in some cases, I almost felt like, because you had a little bit more of a window of opportunity to chat with the superstars. Now, it comes at a cost, but did you do any of those kinds of things? Or, you know, because I know you are really, you know, you've collected several autographs for me in the past as well. So were you able to do, or, you know, did you have any interest in doing any of those kinds of events? Or do you like the face-to-face?
Like you said, I saw the SummerSlam ones.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't stomach the price. I mean, there was only a handful of superstars. I know there is a group up here in the Chicagoland area, which is still, you know, 2 hours north of where I'm at. But I think it's Warrior Wrestling. They're doing shows like out on a high school football field.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually selling meet and greet passes, but they, you know, it's at a table, and so you've got to keep your distance there. But, you know, I've been thinking about going up there. They were running, I think, 3 or 4 weekends where they have some big names. A lot of the AEW guys are there.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I've thought about doing that just to interact and go to an actual live event. But, I just couldn't I've spent a lot of money on pointless autographs, but I couldn't stomach the, I think it was like $125 for a 2-minute, you know, like FaceTime, and then you got a recording of it. The perks were nice,
yeah.
But I could imagine it was pretty rushed. You got in, you ask your 1 or 2 questions, and then they said, see ya, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if those keep up. I know with anymore, to get, you know, sound bites or different things, it's almost easier just to go to like a Cameo or somewhere where, you know, you can give them the script.
Yeah.
And it's a lot cheaper. I mean, you don't have that personal interaction, but there's other way, you know, reaching out on Twitter, different things to interact that way. For the price that WWE was charging, I looked at it, I thought, oh, that's a cool idea. And I saw a few people doing theirs, but, you know, I just, that's a little too rich for my blood.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeff, thank you for sharing your experiences with Thunderdome. I hope as we record this on Sunday morning that you're able to get in for payback as well. And we'll look for you on the feed.
Yeah, I've got my 1-2-3 shirt ready to go tonight. So hopefully, I know this will come out after, but hopefully we'll see a bright red shirt front and center tonight, maybe for payback, because I do have that early call time again. So I'm going to try. I got in about 2 minutes earlier than last time, or than it was said. So I'm going to try it a little earlier today and see when that link goes live, and we'll see what happens.
All right, man. Good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us. And friends, thank you for listening. We will talk again next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.